We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Notre Dame fans, welcome to another edition of the Irish Breakdown Podcast. It is actually still Saturday night.
Notre Dame
with a 31-16 home victory over the Southern Cal Trojans.
Probably write that down.
That is now four wins overall in the series.
Seven out of ten.
Kelly is now 8-3 against USC, and that is five straight at home. So Notre Dame ended a bit of a jinx, I think, tonight. In 2011, the Irish introduced the gold helmets the way that they are now for the first time and lost. Tonight, they introduced a really cool light show before the game.
It was actually pretty sweet, I will admit.
They didn't lose this time. They got the job done.
And they did the light show a couple different times.
Yeah.
And it was pretty cool. You know, they finally kind of stepped into the 21st century with LED lights. I kind of dug it.
Vince, there's a lot of things, the good that we're going to talk about this, some things we didn't like about this, but at the end of the day, this was a game that Notre Dame controlled for 60 minutes. There was like a little bit of time in the fourth quarter where USC kind of made it a little bit interesting, but Notre Dame responded right back offensively and
with
defensively.
With the offense.
Right, yeah. And then the defense puts it away with the strip sack from Isaiah Foskey. And
they brought six on that play.
Yeah.
Six.
Yeah. And we're going to talk about that. But this was a good win, Vince, and there's a lot to clean up. I think big picture, was this a coming out party for Notre Dame? And like, no, they're going to – no. But it was, in my opinion, a step in the right direction. So to me, that was my big takeaway. It was not always pretty. They got the job done. Some of their dudes played like dudes when they needed them to. We saw some adjustments offensively. We saw some big plays defensively. We saw Notre Dame come out, and they were just a better team today. They were the more poised team as well.
Yeah.
That
wasn't hard to do, but
it would have been really bad if they weren't. Yeah.
My big takeaway is that they actually did some self-scouting over the bye week. And it was obvious that they did that. And I made a joke on the message board that their self-scouting was listening to our podcast, which obviously, I'm just saying. But, you know, they did almost everything that we've been asking for, which mind-blowing.
Which we'll get into when we talk about the offense.
I didn't mention anybody in particular, okay? I'm just saying that's my big takeaway is that they actually adjusted during the bye, and that was huge to me. That was huge to me because I was not anticipating it. So
big win. I mean, again,
it's a huge win. Your rival, and you have no other even semi rivalries on your schedule. And I don't care what anybody says about Stanford; they're not your rival, right? You can't have a rivalry with a tree. So
Navy's more of a traditional game.
That's not a rivalry though.
There's like a mutual respect. You're
absolutely.
Yes, this was a rivalry game, Vince, and it was a game that Notre Dame showed the recruits in the stands. They showed recruits that weren't there that are looking at both schools that, hey, the gap between us and USC, again, I'm looking at this from the Notre Dame standpoint, the gap between USC and us right now is monumental. And yeah, you can go there with a new coach and turn things around, and eventually maybe by your senior year, you might be good, or you can come here and help us compete for a championship right away. That's
Agreed.
The selling point, and that's a great takeaway from the game. I thought the environment, from what I could tell on TV, Vince, was great. The tailgating situation today was great. I mean, not just ours. We had a great tailgate.
Ours was good, though.
People come out. A lot of fun. But just everywhere. There just was a lot of energy on the campus today, I felt.
Agreed.
I thought the crowd was good today. From what I could tell, Vince, you would know you were in the stadium. You would be able to tell better than I was. I tried to mention it on the message board
a couple times. I thought that I was nervous at first because it took a minute for the stands to fill up. They were not full at kickoff, but about 5 minutes into the game, it was full. And the crowd was good. And when the video board told people to get loud, they got loud. I mean, it was, for a Notre Dame crowd, I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah.
And again, I dug the light show. They did a light show before the game started. They did one between the third and fourth quarter during the 18-12 overture. And then afterwards, it was nice to see Notre Dame do something fun for the fans, which we haven't really seen, to be perfectly honest with you. So, Brian Kelly kind of made a joke about it. He said, I was just happy the lights came back on after they went off, which we've talked about Brian Kelly's sense of humor. Every football coach
in the country
right.
is feeling the same way. That's a good Brian Kelly joke.
And that was a good Brian Kelly joke.
Because there's some truth to it. Yeah. That's the thing. There's some truth to it.
Absolutely. And it was actually
because you have to tell the football coach that you're going to do something like that.
Correct.
I mean, I guarantee Brian has at least given some kind of note and you're like, oh God.
Yeah, right. And it was a mic drop moment for Brian Kelly because he said it as he was walking off the podium at the end of his press conference.
Yeah, because that's more of a just off the cuff as opposed to his plan. But hey, Vince, here's the deal though. USC victory, 31-16.
Let's roll.
Another win over USC, and we're gonna get into the offense and defensive performance. Let's get a couple super chats here. Please. Place back to BF duties, watching the movie Dune. I saw the previews for that today. High tempo is Jack Cohn's home. Defensive line looked great. My prediction was 35-10. Go Irish. Yes, it was a good day in that regards. We got a couple more super chats here.
Hit them.
Let's get to it. Oh, wow, we got even more than I thought we did. Here we go. Let's get to it. Alex Udell, false start or not, BK should have let Diggs run it into the end zone and let that kid get in the end zone. Should have put another 7 on your rival.
I really wanted him to score at the end. I really did. And I thought that they were almost going to accidentally score after Buckner got it to the 3-yard line. But then the false start just kind of killed all hope that was going to happen.
I get it, but you got the ball at 2:45 left. Put that thing in the end zone.
Yeah.
Right. It wasn't like you got it with like 57 seconds
and I
left.
Honestly did not have a problem with them running the ball because they were running the ball aggressively.
I mean, yeah, you don't run reverse. Right. Put it in.
I was fine with it, but man, I wish they would have punched it in.
Yeah, Donnell Alfano with a super chat. Thank you for that. And thank you, Alex, as well for yours. But Donnell, thank you for yours. Bro eligible, go Irish. They are.
They're eligible. You're right.
Yep. Patrick Barnes, Vincent Bryan, you guys have been calling for Reese to run an up-tempo spread offense with Cohn all season. They finally did it, and the offense looked like it had rhythm for the first time all season. I would disagree. It was first time all season. I think it was the first time since the Florida State game that we saw that.
Well, and I think it was the first time as a concerted effort throughout. You know what I mean?
It's like clearly part of the thing.
For the most part, anyway.
We'll get into that here in a second, but I want to I'm gonna think this is either Celtic Chase or Celtic Chase. I'm gonna assume it's Celtic because I'm assuming, we'll see. Why did Slovis sit back patiently early on, going through progressions against our pass rush early? Didn't see much special attention given to London. Yeah, I agree with that. It was kind of strange. Now they made an adjustment in the second half, and London caught what, 2 passes?
Until that final drive, he caught
He caught a couple ones on like that. But I mean, for the third quarter, they completely shut him down.
He
finally got going with that deep ball where he beat Clarence Lewis. But we'll go over that game plan here as we get into the defensive part. But yes, early on, I didn't like it. And I think part of it was because Kyle Hamilton got hurt early.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was the game plan, was to kind of high-low him. We'll get into a couple of those things early, but thank you for the super chat. But, yeah, I want to remember this one when we get to the defensive part. Vince, if you could just make a quick note of Celtic Chase's comment there, and then we'll kind of dive into it. And then Cameron T with a super chat. Thank you, Cameron. Just wanted to say, being from Utah, growing up as a Notre Dame fan, it's cool to find an Irish community to talk and listen to. Appreciate everything y'all do. Go Irish.
Love it.
So I'm curious, are you the person from Utah that was at the tailgate today? or do we have two people from Utah listening to the show? I'm very curious about that. But thank you for the super chat, yes. Cameron, and thank you very, very much. We had people from Canada stopping by the show today.
Kentucky,
Utah, Florida. We had Just Ordinary Joe showed up today.
Rocking the Gap Closer shirt.
Had the IB hat on. Had another Irish Breakdown shirt underneath.
I could have talked to Joe for hours. We were having a great time.
We had a family from Arkansas. Wife,
yes.
Husband.
They were awesome.
Two youngins. It was great.
They were awesome.
Yep. They were a lot of fun. So we had a lot of fun there. Jim McCarthy says, thanks, guys. What did they do defensively to adjust to London? We will definitely get into that because there was a lot of that. JP Buellsfield with a $5 super chat. Thank you for that, JP. John Harlow, did Kelly promise Buckner playing time as a freshman? He seems eager to play him even when Cone is rolling. Sort of, but not really. It's just about Tyler Buckner's really dynamic.
Yeah, it's hard to
and
keep
I actually deal. Liked the way they used him in
Me
the first half.
I
they,
did too.
But Cone clearly knew that Buckner was going to go in.
Yes.
It was clearly communicated because after that play, he ran right off the field. It was clearly communicated. He knew that it was going to be two plays. They threw twice with Buckner. First one was an RPO. And then second time, next play, they ran like all verts.
The second half, when they brought him in for two plays, I did not like it.
Did not like that. But
I did not like that.
That was off the script. They were on the script in the first half.
Right.
But yes, Vince, I agree. I kind of like that. But yeah, they did promise him to a degree that he was going to chance. But honestly, we've said this. Look, Tyler Buckner's too good to be sitting on the sidelines. You just have to use him correctly. And when they did put him in the red zone at times, I said, okay, I have no problem with that whatsoever.
Because that opened up lanes for Williams.
Yeah, and also, John, thank you very much for that super chat. I appreciate that very, very much. Felix Fournier, watching Notre Dame football felt like watching Notre Dame football for the first time this season. Go Irish. That is a great comment because there were things that, you know, they got to clean up and they didn't do this and they didn't do that. But yeah, they were more physical than USC. Yeah,
they were
the most disciplined. Part. I mean, they made mistakes execution wise, but like Jarrett Patterson gets pushed by the USC guy, doesn't hit him back. Kyron Williams didn't even know that the guy shoved him. Like he was so oblivious to the USC guy that he didn't even realize that. But yeah, it looked like a Notre Dame football team. No question about it. Old Grimm, I've been very happy. The offense proved me wrong tonight. I agree. So that is it for the super chat so far. Thank you, everybody, that's being part of it. Vince, let's dive into this breakdown, Vince. And I want to start with the offense. And you kind of alluded to it at the beginning.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
All right, here we go. Please push the tempo. Check.
Check.
Run RPOs. Check. I'm going to break down this game. I'm going to break this game down from the stats. I guarantee that he completed at least 10 of his passes in this game were RPOs.
And it was, they were legit RP, like legit ride and read and pull and throw, like legit RPOs.
And it had USC.
And it wasn't RPOs where he needed to run, right? It was a legit, I'm either going to hand it off or I'm going to throw it. And
quick outs.
It was great.
Get Kyron Williams involved in the pass game. Check. Reverse engineer your offense. Use your passing game and use tempo to set up your run. Check. First half, check. Second half, minus. But, you know, spread the ball around. Just Jack Cohn, get the reach. Just get the ball out quickly. Empty out the backfield. I mean, all the stuff we've been talking about, Vince, all year was a check, 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 check until I think it was a Brian Kelly saying, hey, we got a lead. Because that's what Brian Kelly does.
He always downshifts.
Exactly what we saw in 2019. Yeah. They got a big lead and they went away from what got them there. And it happened, different offensive coordinator. We've seen it. We saw it in 2015. Same thing. And, you know, to me, that's just Brian Kelly saying, hey, you know, let's not take any chances. Let's run the ball. And it allowed USC to get back in the game instead of saying, okay, 24-3, let's put this sucker away.
Right.
You know, and that's kind of what I would rather see. But that's a BK thing, not a Tommy Rees thing. I thought the part that Tommy Rees did was very good. My one beef in the first half was after the interception, the Bo Bauer interception, they went right to 13 personnel. And they were terrible out of 13 personnel the whole game.
But they were really good out of 11 personnel.
The first touchdown, they went 13-13, got nothing, and they went 11 and throw a touchdown pass.
And it was out of the bunch, which I really I like them out of the bunch because there's a lot of things you can do out of that, especially with Michael Mayer at the tip, as the tip of the spear. I like that.
Yeah, talking about being – which, well, you mean being in the boundary?
I don't remember what side they were on, but it was, you know, a set of three. It was a bunch, and they had Michael Mayer up at the front of it. And then, they had two receivers behind. Okay, you're talking
about the bunch stuff. What I liked is when they put Mayer backside and they had trips to the field. I liked that too. But again, we're talking about – but that's the thing, though, Vince. We're talking about two completely different things when you're using your personnel.
They moved Kevin Austin around.
Well, and he got open several times. They dropped some balls, but you know
he did. But they moved him. Like he wasn't just in the boundary all the time.
Went for 14 yards.
Yeah, right. I mean,
and then that set up some jet sweep action later, where they didn't hand off, but now USC had to respect it and it opened up the run game. So a lot that I liked. I didn't love the fact that they went away from it in the second half. That's what I did not like about this game.
Because they downshifted.
They did. Josh Phillips has a super chat. He says, I'm happy with offensive scheme going up tempo, spread with Cohn as I've been screaming for weeks, but defense was let down
once again
this game. I'm going to disagree with that, and we'll get into that when we get to the defensive part. And then we have a super chat from TJ0311. Thank you, my friend. So also got one from ChristBuilt 1218 with a super chat. Thank you very, very much for that. Feels good to be Irish, especially when we can mop USC all over the field. Much love from Hawaii, guys. Appreciate all you guys do for the Irish community. Go Irish. So the sun's probably still shining for you, isn't it?
I would think so. Aloha. I'm jealous.
Yes, I'm jealous. So it does feel good to be Irish today, Vince, but I think what I hope that we see from this game is I hope that this game is the launching point for what's going to come next. And this is the first time all year, and it was hinted about a couple times, Vince. This is the first time all year it felt like the Notre Dame coaching staff on offense said, okay, this is who we are. Mm-hmm. This is who we are. And they went away from the run game being the foundation, and it was about quick game, pass, screen. And what happened? Kyron Williams has his most productive running game of the season.
Yeah, he did.
It's not a coincidence.
He was fantastic today. I mean, he ran the ball with some authority. I mean, 25 carries for 138 yards, 5.5, you know, yards per carry, 2 touchdowns. I mean, he did a great job. I was very impressed with Kyron, and they just kept feeding him. Brian Kelly said something about that in his post-game press conference, and he's like, look, we could tell all week that this is going to be a Kyron game. But that's great.
They did such a good job of getting him the ball in different ways.
I agree. He had six catches.
Even on the third and long. I mean, what the
that was Jack awesome. Cohen
be like, okay, we're running four verts.
Mm-hmm.
And it
cleared
was
everything
seven,
out.
It's third and 15. They ran four verts and they released Kyren on an arrow route.
Right.
USC linebackers turned their backs, ran underneath the verts. And so Jack just said, get it to my stud.
Easy.
Right.
Easy. And he made a couple, made some moves,
his
obviously.
Stiff arm was absolutely on point tonight.
Oh, it was great.
I mean, how many times did he knock off Isaac Taylor Stewart's helmet with a stiff arm? And so let's talk about the offensive line. Now we're kind of talking about Kyren. We'll get back to the pass game.
Okay.
I think we need to talk about the offensive line right now with this conversation with Kyren as well. John Kiever says, thanks for the hat. Go IB. Huh. Go Irish. He stopped by with his wife today. So I appreciate that. John Nestor,
that's awesome.
Super chat. Appreciate that very, very, very much. And Neil Wachter with a super chat. Anybody check the rivalry trophy case for dust? Because it has been sitting there now for 5 years. So, yeah, it may be a little dusty now.
Well, and they have the original, too. Notre Dame has the original that they retired in 97. Yeah. So, I love that.
So, here's my thoughts on the offensive line. It was not a great performance in a traditional Notre Dame sense. They did not blow USC off the ball. Although, there was a third and six on one. The third quarter scoring drive, it was a third and six. I think they were in the red zone, and they ran for 5 yards on a play where they just like bullied USC off the ball. And then it got to fourth and one, and then they ran a quarterback sneak.
Here's the thing: they have rarely in the past just lined up and gone with a QB sneak just instantly like that.
Yeah, and they did it twice tonight. And got
I loved it. And
but
look,
that requires a push. I mean, And again, but they didn't. If you look at that first, they didn't get a push on that fourth and one.
Right.
They didn't get a push on a lot of Kyren's runs. They got almost no movement, I would say probably on 95% of the runs. But here's the thing. I'm not going negative. Here's the thing. Here's what they did. They got a body on a body, and they stayed engaged. Here's a perfect example. There was an inside zone play. I think it was to the left. Josh Lugg gets beat inside. But what he did was he stayed on the guy and then he put the guy down. The guy reaches out and Kyren spins off of him and then runs for 12 yards. Was that a good play by Lugg? Am I putting check on it if I'm grading him? No, it was a minus, but he stayed engaged. He kept a body on a body. I mean, there were times where Kyren would just kind of sit back there and be like, yeah, there's nothing. And he'd bounce it. But when he was doing that 2, 3, 4 games ago, dudes were getting off blocks and they were getting to them for 2 yard gains or 2 yard losses. They kept a body on a body. The left side of the line was really good. That was the one part of the line that was really good.
Absolutely agree.
Yeah.
They had room to run on the left side all night.
But I was
long.
Impressed by this group's compete level tonight. Again, not great movement. I mean, it wasn't, if you compare it to the great games from last year, it wasn't like that vintage Notre Dame. But Vince, we've said all year, if you just play solid football, give me effort, keep it, and just get a body on a body, you've got stud backs are going to be able to do something with it. And that's exactly what we saw tonight. Pass pro Vince, I thought was good, except for the one sack they gave up. They dropped eight and a three-man rush guy. It was partly a covered sack, but also partly
It was also partly that there was only four guys blocking those three because Kane Madden was doing one of these and not blocking anybody, which was super frustrating. Right.
He had a rough night, I thought.
He had a rough night. And Lugg didn't have a great night, okay?
Yeah, but he battled.
He battled. I give him that. He battled, but he still
– false start.
He struggled at times that was obvious to me. I thought Kane struggled tonight in the run game. He there was one play, and I can't remember which one it was, but he didn't even touch the guy, and it ended up being a tackle for loss. Mm-hmm. He struggles, man. And look, I am ecstatic that they made changes on the left side. Ecstatic. I was the right call. It was the right move. I thought they did a good job. They need to analyze the right side.
Right.
You need to analyze the right side. I'm sorry. Right guard isn't getting it done.
Right.
If I'm only allowed to replace one of those guys, it's going to be the right guard.
Sure.
And I'll live with Lugg as a try hard. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But right guard is still killing them.
Yeah.
And I'm trying not to be negative, but it's so obvious because the left side was really good for them. They were good.
There was one particular block. I think it was the 38-yard run.
Okay.
Where Krstoffic and Patterson and Gage, They don't get great movement, but they stayed on the combo long enough to let Kyren get past the first guy. And then Jarrett comes off to get to the linebacker. And he gets enough of a body where just the guy can't get to Kyren.
Right.
It was like, okay, that's the kind of timing. And, you know, I thought it was, there was one time where Jarrett got beat up the field, but Joe Alt got a real nice seal and Kyren was able to bounce out. So if you get that seal, because you know what I noticed, and I'm going to have to go back and watch it again, Vince, because what I didn't see tonight as much of is when they're running zone, I didn't see as much of this, like turning at a 45.
Right.
Which that allowed Kyren to keep bouncing it.
Yeah,
because before they were turning, and then when you bounce, you're just bouncing right into the guy.
Bouncing into somebody.
Block.
Yeah,
I'm gonna have to go back and watch that again. I don't know if they were running inside zone or if they were running mid zone all night. Because on mid zone, you're gonna keep more of a square base.
Right. There were a couple times
and see that
the ends were flying upfield and the tackles just took them.
Yeah,
and that's okay.
Perfect.
If it's an inside run, you can do that because they're taking themselves out of the play.
He's gonna bounce right underneath it. Exactly.
Exactly. And I have no problem with that. You know,
exactly.
Because they're at least getting a body on them. Which was not the case the first few games of the season. Yeah. So we'll take.
So overall, Vince, I mean, if they can replicate this offensive line performance at four of those five spots the rest of the year, I mean, but even then, even with the right guard not playing great, the other guys were at least solid enough to good enough to where they were able to get the job done.
And yeah, no, I agree with that.
Third down was good. The only time they didn't do well in third down was more of an execution thing or a drop pass or things like that. But overall, I was
they were 8-12.
I was pleased with the effort and the overall execution we saw from the offensive line. And again, if that to me is the biggest take. If we can just, and it's now two games in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Two games in a row, we've seen that.
Yeah. Yeah.
If that can continue,
yeah.
This offense is going to just keep getting better and better and better.
There were only a handful of times because I was trying to pay attention more to the outside. That's what I do when I'm live at the game, right? I'm trying to look at the big picture. There were only a handful of times where the offensive line stuck out to me in a negative way. Mm-hmm. And that is a big time improvement from where we were at the beginning of the season, a huge improvement. And so they were actually able to run the offense with the offensive line.
Right.
That's huge. All we asked for was an average offensive line. They're knocking on that door right now. Okay. They're knocking on that door. And I realize that, you know, these defenses aren't as good moving forward. I don't care.
Right.
I don't care. The offense still needs to do what they need to do, and it starts up front.
Right. Got a quick super chat. I want to recognize Tyrell Wilson. We held a good USC offense to half of the 32-point season average, and still fans criticize the defense. Oh, by the way, the man who's going to blanket their best receiver missed most of the game. Tyrell, we will get to this, but by the time
we
get
will.
To the defense, your super chat's going to be gone.
Yeah.
So I wanted to recognize it and tell you
thank you, Tyrell.
That. But we're definitely going to talk about that because I'll be honest, I'm a little surprised by some of the strong reaction of the defense, but also in some ways, it's sort of understand some of the things. But we'll get into that. This is a good segue right here. John Rich's comment says it looked like Mayer's best blocking night of the year. A couple things about Michael Mayer. I thought he was a really big key early to the offense getting going. He was really sharp with his routes, Vince, and he did two nice things. On the option routes, he was really sticking that inside and whipping his head around quick, which allowed Cone to hit him fast.
Hit him in stride.
Which helped him, which helped him move the chains. And then he did a great job on that seam throw from Tyler Buchner. He did a great job of cutting across the face of the safety. So, like, he could have kept going vertically and kind of run through the safety. But instead, he saw that the linebacker was staying cut, and he cut right in front of him. So then when Buchner threw it, he was allowed to then seal off the safety. Great route. And to John's point, and thank you for the super chat, John, I wrote in my game observation, I'm going to have to break down the film to get like a play-by-play view. But when I saw Michael Mayer blocking tonight, I thought he blocked well.
Mm-hmm.
I did. I mean, I had three times I have notes, 87 check block on the, you know what I mean? Like there were, I thought he blocked well from what I saw. Now I have to go watch the film and all that, but I was impressed with the performance of Michael Mayer when he wasn't making a ton of big plays in the pass game. You meaning big plays, meaning like down the field. He had, you know, decent numbers, but he wasn't blowing it up, but he still made other contributions. There was I thought Cone made two big misses in this game. And I thought overall Jack played a really good game. But the first one was he underthrew Lorenzo Styles. Lorenzo smoked that dude off the ball. And Jack underthrew him. He tried to back shoulder it instead of leading him. And then he had good ball placement on the throw, like from an angle standpoint to Michael Mayer that got broken up in the end zone, but it needs about 2 feet higher.
But it was underthrown. It hit the guy in the back of the helmet.
He needed to underthrow it from the standpoint of he couldn't lead him because there was a safety coming over. But where he put it right here. It needs to be about 2 feet higher. So like where the ball went from where it was on the field was appropriate. He just needs to, instead of throwing it to where Mayer tries to catch it here, Vince, he's got to throw it to where Mayer catches it.
Right.
Because
right.
If you throw it to where Mayer catches it here,
that's a touchdown. Right? I agree with it's you. Because the defender hadn't turned around.
Right.
I mean, it hit him in the back of the helmet, and Mayer was trying to go over the top.
Gave
and
a get great it, effort, yeah.
Yeah, if it's
here. He's got to get that about 2 feet higher. Like the angle was correct, but it's just got to be higher.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Yeah.
Kevin Austin misplayed two back shoulders, and I want to get into those here real quick too. So Kevin did some nice things, had a great catch of a low ball in the second half.
I thought
he blocked really well. I thought this was his best blocking game of the season that I saw from Kevin Austin. The issue is, however, he doesn't compete for the ball the way he needs to and the way we've seen him do it in the past, Vince.
I've seen him do it in practice,
too. The first back shoulder on the first drive that was one of the worst plays of a back shoulder I've ever seen. Like, he didn't even turn. He just tried to go like this. You got to turn, and that should have been an easy catch. And there's a lot of people that have said, and we've seen it, there was somebody that had it in the chat. They talked about how Cone misplaced the interception, and I disagree, Vince. I want you to go watch this play on, or if you maybe you watch it then, but if you go watch it, Austin gets off the ball, and when Jack is like about to release the ball, Chris Steele jams Kevin Austin, and he stops and hops, and kind of his momentum completely stalled out. If he kept running the way he was when Cone releases the ball, it's a back shoulder perfectly thrown.
Mm-hmm.
But when he got jammed, so basically like he was here, which allowed the ball to be here and Steele to do it, right? And that's where he was when the ball was snapped, when the ball was got there. But the way he released, if he runs the route correctly, he's here. And instead of it being here. And at worst, it's a pass breakup. It's not a pick. That to me was on Austin. And I know a lot of people say, oh, it's on Cone. But if you go back and watch that route, watch that moment where Steele collisions him. And I think Cone's like right about here at that time. Kevin's got to play that better. He's got to physically battle better.
Yeah, and he didn't get his arms up for that either, which allowed Steele to get it and then bring it into his chest. If he doesn't bring it into his chest, then the 50-50 ball goes to Notre Dame. But the fact that he didn't get his arms up allowed the ball to get all the way into Steele's chest, even though Kevin had his hands on it, which obviously gave him the interception. So,
people that said it was a questionable call. We saw that from Jackson Everett. And by rule, I understand it being a questionable call. The rule is if it's a tie, it goes to the receiver. But I didn't really feel like it was a tie.
Yeah.
Because I thought the ball was in Chris Steele's chest.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
So
we got a couple more super chats real quick. Brian.
Josh Phillips was kind of – thank you for that super chat, Josh. But he was talking about the same thing, the double possession. That's what we were just talking about, Josh. We both felt, because Vince and I talked about this before the show, I asked him his opinion on it. We both felt like it was a proper call. I didn't think it was a tie. I thought Steele had the ball, but the guy on NBC, Vince, you couldn't hear it. He was saying that shouldn't matter. Hmm. That if it's, I just kind of felt like
he had more possession.
I didn't think it was a double possession. I thought, So that's that. And then we have super chat from John A1. Yep. If I'm a grad transfer, I'm picking Notre Dame. They'll play you all 12 games, no matter how good the play is or how bad the play is. That's a great point, John. That's a great, great point.
Oh, God, love that.
So those are the two super chats we got. And then TJ0311 had another $2 super chat. Sorry, Vince.
Yeah, we both clicked it. Yep.
Yeah. And then TJ was excited. We were talking about the mayor ball. He said, holy poop, I said the same thing to my wife about Mayer and 2 feet higher. Yeah, it was where it needed to be from a where right. on the field it was. It just needed to be higher. And those are the plays that when you got a kid like that, and that, like Everett was great at that in 2012 yeah. with Ifrim. He just said, okay, my guy's 6'6 with long arms. I'm going to put it out there. No one's going to have a shot at it. So
right.
To me, that was the two big misses by Jack tonight where he could have had some big, big plays. So again, that's the thing though, Vince. There's a lot this line has to improve. But Avery Davis tonight, Avery's been so good this year, and he had some couple really nice plays in the past. His blocking tonight was terrible, right? That's the kind of thing you're just not going to see from Avery very often. He had a bad game in that regards, but then he made up for it with some clutch plays in the third down. We finally got to see. Hey, guess what? When freshmen have to play because of injuries,
yeah,
and right. you throw them the ball, they can make plays. Imagine that. Deion made a great job going down on that third down to make that catch.
He did.
And then Lowe's
great adjustment.
Lorenzo Styles did a great job tonight. Because the long screen, it was an RPO. They were running, I think they were running a counter to the right. Jack read it, pulled it, got it out to Lowe. Great perimeter blocking. And then Lorenzo just took it right up the sideline. Just
man, split it. One man to beat, too. I mean, the kid took a good angle. Obviously, it's not Lorenzo Styles' fault. Kid took a good angle. Good angles can defeat speed. But if that guy didn't take that angle, he's to the house. I mean, yeah. it was a great play. I loved it.
Yeah, I thought he performed well. So, it was just there was nobody in the pass game that just played great. There was nobody in the pass game that just, like, took the game over. Oh, wow, look what that guy did. But everybody got involved. And that's the thing that I liked about this performance, Vince. I'm trying to pull up the stats here to kind of see to go over it. But like that was the thing for me that I liked is it just, I mean, Kyron had 6 catches for like 40 some yards. Again, not a huge 42. Night, but clutch. He had a couple really nice plays on screens. He converts the third and long. Mayer went 5 for 54. Austin was 4 for 39. Styles 3 for 57. Avery Davis had 2. Deion Colsey had 2. Braden Lindsay had the 14-yard jet sweep. I thought it all around was just a good performance from the receivers outside of 5 plays. That's what I felt.
Yeah, that's fair.
The 2 plays by Austin, the 2 missed blocks by Avery, and I'm trying to remember, there's one other play that it like I didn't think a receiver ran a great route. But outside of 5 plays, I thought they did go football. They just got to clean up because those mistakes are big.
Yeah,
that's the thing. They got to clean that up. But again, it wasn't a lack of effort tonight. And I feel like as a coach, Vince, I can work on the technical stuff if you're at least willing to battle and compete. And like Kevin tonight, Kevin made 2 big mistakes, but his compete wasn't. It wasn't like this was different than the Purdue game. Like his technical game hurt him on those 2 back shoulders, but then he comes right back and he has that huge drop. I mean, first drive of the game, right? Kevin has 2 huge drops and he could have easily gone to the tank like he did against Purdue or Cincinnati, but he didn't. He still caught 4 balls and he had 2 third down conversions. Mm-hmm. He blocked well. That's part of the maturation process. You can say, hey, look, Kevin, man, you got to make that play. You had 3 opportunities to make big plays. You got to do this, but hey, there's some stuff to build on. Let's clean this stuff up.
Right.
And you got to get better here because he's got too much talent not to make those plays. And because we've seen him make them. He's just got to start doing it on Saturday, Vince. Any other thoughts on the wide receivers from you?
Not necessarily from the wide receivers. I love that they spread it out. I mean, you had 7 guys catch balls, mm-hmm. Which that's fantastic.
Well, and you got to think about who you really don't have anybody else at receiver running back to catch a ball.
Yeah, the only other if Chris Tyree played, it would have been 8. You know what I mean? Because he would have caught a ball. But other than that, I mean, I spread the ball around. I loved it. I thought the creativity was good, getting guys involved. I thought that they actually used RPOs more tonight than they have all season.
Since Florida State.
And it was effective. So I'm hoping to see them. Yeah, absolutely. So, and I'm hoping to see them build on that.
What I meant by that is, like, one thing we've complained about is they just kind of run the same RPO over and over again. We saw the look screen RPOs. Some didn't work. You had a -2 yard loss to Braden Lindsay because of bad block by Avery Davis. You had the quick outs of the outside guy, which we've seen all year. But then we had some where they put Kevin Austin in the slot, and he just run a little 4 yard out cut and just Jack would read it and hit him, and then he catches it and turns it up. We saw that. We saw RPOs to the back. You know, with the other back coming out. It just was, there was some diversity. There was some creativity tonight. And first half, I don't have a lot of complaints.
Yeah.
I really don't. I don't have a lot of complaints. Yeah. I thought it was a well-called game by Tommy Rees. I feel like second half, that was more of BK than it was Tommy. But I'll say this. My final takeaway from the offensive performance, Vince, is this. When USC scored to make it 24-16, I'm thinking, well, we're going to find out what kind of heart this team has.
Yes, this is going to be an interesting ending. Yeah, because it was like 8.5 minutes left, I believe, when that went down. Because I remember looking at the clock because my father-in-law texted me.
Notre Dame took the ball back over at 8:51.
Yeah, because he texted me, he goes, onside kick.
USC to win that. Yeah.
He goes, onside kick. And I said, no, it's too early for that. Yeah. They don't need to onside kick. They can go down and try to get Notre Dame to a 3-and-out, and then they got a chance to go down and tie the game. So there was plenty of time for USC to make a comeback, and the offense went 80 yards and scored a touchdown.
Kyren had 6 carries for, I think, 34 yards on the series. He had a 9-yard run to start, an 11-yard run, a 10-yard run. Drew a penalty. Kevin Austin, who had a role in the interception a couple series before, draws a 50 because he beat the guy inside, drew a 15-yard penalty. They never got to third down on the drive. I mean, they had 2 second downs. That's it. I mean, it was just a really efficient. The longest play on that drive was 11-yard. Oh, the longest play on that drive was a 15-yard penalty.
Yeah.
Right. But it was 9 yards, 6 yards, 2 yards, penalty, 11 yards, 2 yards, penalty, 2 yards, 10 yards, touchdown. Like, that was a kind of like, okay, let's show what kind of, I can't say that now because I don't know who's listening, but that's kind of like, let's see what kind of heart you got. See what kind of pride you got. Because I thought that the game plan in the second half took them out. There was no urgency in the second half. It was like, hey, we got a lead. And it's hard, Vince, to turn that sucker back on, right? I mean, it's hard when you take your foot off the gas. It's hard to rev it back up. But boy, they came out that next series and just went right down the field, and that was impressive to me. It really was. It really was impressive to see that. So overall, I'm pleased with what we saw from the offense. Still got to clean up the penalties. Got to eliminate those missed opportunities. Way too many missed opportunities tonight. You got to clean up. But again, I guess I'm probably more positive on it than I should be because of how many missed opportunities there were. But I just feel like in a lot of ways, this was a good step in the right direction for this offense. That's agreed. How I felt about it.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And I just want to address some of the stuff in the chat right now. Don't worry about the polls, guys. Get a good night's sleep. It doesn't matter what the polls say tomorrow. Right. It doesn't matter. The poll that matters comes out in about a week, okay? About a week and 2 days. That's the poll that matters. Don't worry about it. It doesn't – look, the bottom line is if Notre Dame goes 11-1, they're in a New Year's Six bowl, period. It doesn't matter. Everybody just take a breath and get a good night's sleep, and don't worry about the projection on the polls, okay? It doesn't matter. And – we've said it before, the College Football Playoff Committee respects generally what Notre Dame does.
Right.
Okay. So worry about that poll, because we'll have a show about that poll on that Tuesday that it comes out, and we'll talk about it, and we'll all be like, yeah, that's probably where Notre Dame belongs when that one comes out. So just everybody, it's okay.
Yeah.
It's really okay. All right. And then we have a super chat before.
Yep. Yeah. Okay, Brian Madsen says, "I think." And first of all, anyone that spells their name Brian with a Y is aces in my book. I think the second down play calling can be more aggressive. You know what, Brian? Honestly, I'd have to go back and look. I'd have to go back and look at my notes to kind of see that. I didn't get that sense, but that doesn't mean you're not correct. It just means I didn't notice it, and I don't notice everything. But I have to go back and look at that. That's an interesting take. That's an interesting take to go look at that. So it's a well-called game.
I do too. I was impressed with the fact that they sat down, they listened to our podcast, they wrote down everything that we wanted them to do, and they did it. I mean, what more could you ask for? I appreciate that. So it was good. No, but it was good. They used the bye effectively, offensively, and that made me. I was so happy. I was sitting up in the press box, kind of like a proud dad. I was like, yeah, okay. Okay, yeah. This is good. Okay. It's like,
okay, yep. Been calling for that. Thank you. Been calling for that. Hey, just sweet. 14 yards. All right, cool. Right. Thank you.
Right. So I was happy. I really was. Yeah. I really was happy. So.
Yeah. So before we go into the defense, Vince, we have a super chat from Connor Patton. What do you think about the idea of a bowl game against Michigan?
Haven't we talked about this one?
A little bit. Right now, I'm still focused on Notre Dame getting ready for North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to see Notre Dame play Michigan in a bowl game. Would love it because I think they would. If Notre Dame plays their game, they will smoke Michigan. But we still – there's a lot of football left for us to see whether or not they will actually do that or not, whether they or not they will get to that level.
Correct.
So,
agreed.
Yeah, that. Let's just see what they do next week before we start talking about what
no
they
doubt
in a bowl game against somebody. I want to see what they do against North Carolina. I want to see what they do against Virginia. I want to see what they do in those kind of games.
Well, frankly, I want to see what Michigan does against some decent teams too. And look, there's going to be carnage in the Big Ten over the next few weeks, which is going to be fun to watch. Excited. I get to watch a little bit of football next week because, again, we have another night game.
I can't wait for Monday's show. How does Penn State lose to Illinois? But we're not going to go there.
9 overtimes. That's how.